In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The second petition, Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives, here in time and there in eternity. The gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Lent traditionally is the account of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And in churches like ours that use the one-year lectionary, we hear Matthew's account of this event. But Luke, in his record of this occasion, gives us some interesting details that Matthew does not. Luke writes, "And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. You then will worship me, it will all be yours.'" Of course, all scripture is breathed out by God. Same Holy Spirit inspired Matthew and Luke and Mark and John as well, who write what they wrote. But it was God's will that Luke include certain details that Matthew didn't. Namely, at least in this account, that the devil claims the authority and glory of the kingdoms of the world have been delivered over to him, and that he can give it to whoever he wants. Now, that might sound like a lot of bluster coming from the Prince of Lies, but Holy Scripture, indeed our Lord himself, acknowledges Satan's diabolical reign on earth. In John chapter 12, Jesus calls the devil the ruler of this world. And in 1 John chapter 5, we read, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So for all of his lies, and yes, there are many, the devil was telling the truth here. He did rule over the kingdoms of this world. He did possess their glory. But we should be clear, that didn't make him the rightful ruler of this world. No, God is. But the devil, by his craft and his cunning and his schemes, ripped that authority away from those to whom God had entrusted this dominion. That is, mankind, whom God had appointed in the beginning to have dominion over this material creation, this world, as stewards and as caretakers. But when Satan misled and deceived Adam and Eve into sin, into breaking their fellowship with God, their Father and Creator, he usurped the authority and the glory of this world, taking it away from them, setting himself up as a false and fraudulent king upon the throne of this earth. But he who alone is the rightful ruler of this world would not let his kingdom be stolen away that easily. He willed retake that territory that had been falsely taken from him. And in the fullness of time, according to his divine perfect plan, he entered into this world in order to reestablish his righteous reign over this world. In the fullness of time, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, came, both as true God, the rightful ruler of all creation, as its maker, and as true man, the appointed steward, having been conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The kingdom of God came, and it came by itself without our prayer. For while we were still weak, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Jesus Christ came into this world to save us poor, miserable sinners. He was born for us. He lived for us. He was obedient for us. And by his perfect obedience, our Lord Jesus Christ would restore the fellowship that had been broken, reconciling God and humanity. And that began, or perhaps better said, continued at his temptation. For when the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, when he said, "If you will worship me, it will all be yours," Jesus responded, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." With this, the kingdom that Satan founded began to be overthrown. And that overthrow of Satan's kingdom was finished at the cross, when our Lord Jesus Christ purchased and won us from sin, from death, from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that we may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. With the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the false ruler of this world, Satan was cast out. And the true ruler, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took his rightful place upon the throne. Of course, as he told Pontius Pilate, his kingdom was not of this world, which is why he, the true king of the Jews, did not have servants fighting for him in order to deliver him, but instead was hailed as the king with mockery, crowned with thorns, rejected by his own people, who preferred instead to receive Caesar, a pagan, as their own king. Nevertheless, Christ's kingdom is truly an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is truly one that shall never be destroyed. For he who died is risen indeed, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, as Paul writes. And with the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, he, the ruler of this world, was exalted to the right hand of God his Father. And the kingdom of God certainly came by itself, and it did so without our prayer. Indeed, even before we knew how to pray, the kingdom of God came when our Lord Jesus was born, when he lived, when he died, rose again, and ascended. The kingdom of God didn't just come by itself. The kingdom of God continues to come to us. For Christ Jesus, our Lord, sends his Holy Spirit to establish the kingdom of God in our hearts through the calling of the gospel. In the proclamation of the word, God the Father rescues us from our former bondage to Satan and makes us citizens of his kingdom, heirs of heaven. Truly we, though poor, miserable sinners, we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so, though the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, we pray in the second petition that it may come to us also, that we may dwell under God's righteous and benevolent authority, that his name may be praised throughout the world and in our Christian lives. Our Lord willed that this second petition be included in the perfect prayer he has taught to us, his disciples. And for a very good reason. This petition that God's kingdom would come, this is a most necessary petition for us to pray. Because though the devil, the ruler of this world, has been cast out, he is still seeking to regain the lost territory he once possessed. He is still seeking to reclaim souls to join him in his kingdom of fading glory and everlasting destruction. And therefore, it is of the utmost importance that we pray and continue to pray that God's kingdom would come to us. We should pray that our Father would give us his Holy Spirit through the word and the sacraments, that he would reign in us, in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation. We should pray that God would drive the devil far away from us and overthrow his false and wicked kingdom. We should pray that God would kindle in us true faith that holds fast to his word of forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. We should pray that God would enable us to lead good and godly lives that are pleasing to him as we strive to obey the Ten Commandments. We should pray that God would finally deliver us from this valley of sorrow, this evil world, into his perfect, sinless, joyful heaven. We should pray that he would raise us up on the last day to live with him in body and soul in the new creation, free forevermore from sin, death, and hell. Finally, we should pray that he do so not just for us and in us, but that he do the same the hearts and lives of all people all throughout the world. All of this is encompassed in that one little petition, "Thy kingdom come." How blessed it is that our Lord Jesus has placed this petition in our mouths. Truly, the kingdom of God has come, even without our prayers. It's come in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has overthrown the authority and glory of the devil. Still, the kingdom of God comes today through the work of the Holy Spirit in God's holy word and in the sacraments. Through these, as through means, God makes you citizens of his glorious kingdom and heirs of his everlasting heaven. The kingdom that came, the kingdom that comes now, will also be the kingdom that will come again someday with power and great glory when Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, will deliver finally the kingdom to his Father after destroying every rule and authority and power of the devil and those under his claim. All enemies, including that last enemy, death, will be destroyed. And when that happens, God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shall be all in all. Christ's kingdom is coming. In that glorious kingdom, you will live forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.